So the people who are given to this sound vibration appreciate they take the hence the sounding of the Veda mantras is the ultimate, and that can get them anything they want in. So they think they'll bring it, they can do miracles. So yajñaha iti yajñavidaha, the people who consider the performance of rituals prescribed in the Veda as the greatest thing, because performance of ritual can get them anything they want. There's nothing superior to performance of rituals. No, in fact, you know, the best of the karma kandi, the best means the strongest karma kandi, who was completely, totally, complete given to this belief of nothing greater than performance of ritual. Now, who was that person? Mandana Mishra. And this Mandana Mishra later on became Sureshwaracharya, which means Adishankara Bhagavatpada had long the argument and to refute his view, and then he accepted, yes, it is not the knowledge of the, drishyam will not lead to moksha, naja drik alone is moksha, which means performance of ritual is not the end of everything. And later on, the person who had strong belief in that, and he should write something about the about this, na? Therefore, later on, Naishkarmya Siddhihi is a great work of Acharya. He wrote this book, because he was instructed by Adishankara Bhagavatpada. Adishankara Bhagavatpada asked Sureshwaracharya to write this book, Naishkarmya Siddhihi, and which says karma will not give you freedom. Karma is not the means for moksha. It is the knowledge which is the means for moksha, that he emphasizes that fact in that book. And this book was written by what now? Sureshwaracharya, who was once upon a time Mandana Mishra, isn't it? Staunch karma kandi. Anyway, that's another side note here for you. Then bhokta iti cha bhoktrividaha. There's group of people who think that this bhokta enjoyer is the reality. Then there's the bhojyam. Even though the word bhojyam means the enjoyable object, here it specifically means a food. The other one, after food, I remember this, okay. The two things, once I said objects of enjoyment, and here specifically food. It is said supakaraha. Supakaraha means, the cook philosopher. For them, cook well, eat well, relish your food. That is the blood, ultimate of that thing. Bhojyam iti cha tadvidaha. Anyway, sukshma iti sukshma vidaha, sthula iti cha tadvidaha. So the sukshma, again, I told you about this Digambara Jains, who hold on to the view that sukshma shariram is the atma and is the ultimate truth, and which is, there are many also. Therefore, many sukshmas are the truths. Therefore, the truth is not even one, many. And because the truth for them is sukshma shariram. Then, sthula iti cha tadvidaha. And these are the charvakas. Charvakas means a type, again another type of materialist. For them, there's nothing real other than the body. And this body is born once, is going to die, and there's no rebirth. It is going to become reduced to ashes after the death. No punyam, no papam, no rebirth, no moksha, no jnanam, no atma, no satyam, no nothing. Okay? This is the view of one group of people. Then murta iti murta vidaha. Murtaha here means, even though the word murtaha literally means a form, you can say here, a given form, people who are holding on to a given form as their personal god. For them, no, my personal god alone is satyam. If you are worshipping another god, that is not truth. My god, personal god is the truth for some people. You know, like adamant, like child, very childish. So, murtaiva, murtaiti, murtavidaha. Then, amurtaiti cha tadvidaha. Amurtaha means what? Amurtaha here, amurtaha means, don't take formless here, shunyam. Amurta stands for here, shunyam. Shunya means what now? Nothingness is the reality. You search for the reality, there's nothing. There's no such thing called reality. Nothing is there. That is their view.
So Buddhist, sir?
Yeah, Buddhist. Shunyavadis. Amurtaha is equal to nothingness, shunyavadi. The shunya, this is a view of shunyavadis. Then the people who hold on to this personal god are said to be murtavidaha. For them, personal god is the ultimate truth, reality. The next, kala iti kala vidaha,
kala iti kala vidaha,
disha iti cha tadvidaha,
disha iti cha tadvidaha,
pada iti cha,
vada iti cha,
pada vidaha,
vada vidaha,
bhuvanani iti tadvidaha,
bhuvanani iti tadvidaha.
Okay. Kalaha eva satyam iti kalavidaha. There are people, you know, people means for whom time is the ultimate truth. Which means everything in our life is determined by time. That is fact. Everything in life is determined by time, that's true. But that everything being determined by time is also what? It's all within the realm of mithya only. But taking the time factor as a satyam is the problem. Time is the ultimate truth. And here, suppose people who are given to study of the Phala Jyotisha, the astrology, the astrologers, you know, for them they say, okay, for them in the life, of course, it's a science. It should be used for certain, you know, certain understanding. You can use it, but you should not take it as the ultimate. It's all within the realm of the material things, isn't it? Material world. There's no moksha here. See, going to astrologers, making charts, and having the predictions done, okay, and all those things can be used only within the realm of the material world to sort out few things. It is not going to free you from bondage of karma. Is it? Astrologer's predictions, the science of astrology, it is a beautiful science. No, don't deny it. But you should not hold on to the astrological predictions, you know, as a solution for the ultimate, as a problem, not the ultimate truth. How much we are given, because so much, the astrologers and the people who believe in astrologies, no? Believing is okay, but the obsession is wrong, isn't it? Too much of that, everything, even to sneeze, you have to look for time. In India, people do that. Going out, coming back, and then, you know, eating medicine, which they should start. Everything is so much, there's so much that depends. They become, see, in fact, the Vedanta says, you are the devourer of the time. Time devours everything, and you are the devourer of the time. Kalaha sarva bhakshakaha. Aham kalasapi bhakshakaha. I am the devourer of the time, therefore I am devourer of everything. Isn't it? Everything is gulped. That's what Vishwarupa Darshanam, isn't it? Everything is in me. Everything comes to me. Nothing is outside of me. I do not go and come. Everything comes into existence in me. Everything lives in me. Everything resolves in me. This is the vision. This is the fact. And this is what we are supposed to arrive at ultimately. This is what is arriving at the truth. This is what is moksha. Therefore, kalaha sarabhakshakaha, aham kalasyavi bhakshakaha, I am the devourer of the time. This is a fact. But what happens? Then you are a master of the time, isn't it? But what happens? I become a slave of the time. Because everything, I see the planetary positions. You know, all these problems are because of my plant. As long as this plant is sitting in this house, until it moves on to the next house, I have these problems. Which means, my life is, it is the whole thing. I take this, that my life is in the hands of the, as though my life is in the hands of the planets. People do tell this. Our lives are really completely governed by the planets, their positions. Which means, nothing should be overvalued. It should be given due value. You are giving due value means you are using it for living this life in order to prepare your mind ultimately for moksha, then it is a useful science. If you are taking this astrology as the ultimate end, and your life is, everything is, astrological predictions are going to change your whole life if you think, which is really fooling oneself. Therefore, kalaha iti kalavidaha. Time, some people who say this, time, they take time as the ultimate. Disha iti cha tadvidaha. Dishaha, some people are given to this quarters, isn't it? Dishaha. Always the people are scared of southern direction. I do not know whether you have that fear here. In India, south, always there's a belief, south stands for death. South means people are very scared. And then you generally, suppose it's a plot, suppose south facing plot, and nobody will pass for that plot. So nobody will buy that. They'll always be scared. South facing plot, they will not buy. Sometimes, this is the east, they always look for east facing or north facing. If you happen to get only west facing or south facing, what to do? So what's going to happen? Isn't it? All this, what I'm saying, generally, for them, how I sit, facing south or north or east or west, it counts. Because I'm so scared. Because facing south may cause some problems for me. Facing north may solve my problems. The people have said, really obsessed with this idea of directions having some, these quarters having some control in our life. Which means they become slave of their, even these factors called quarters and time, etc. You're completely enslaved. This is how we become enslaved. See, when you overvalue, you become a slave. You give due, undervaluing is also really losing something. Give due value, isn't it? This is the problem. So here, disha iti cha tadvidaha. Then, vada iti vadavidaha. Vadaha iti vadavidaha. Vadaha means varieties of arguments, varieties of beliefs. Now he put in one word, he has no time to mention everything. Lots of belief systems, isn't it? So many belief systems are there. So many beliefs. You know, if you ask me, what are those beliefs? How people believe? What are all the things really govern our lives? You know, highly educated people, and sometimes somebody comes and tells you numerology. It's one vada. You change the name. They change the number of the letters in your name. Immediately will do, because we believe that. And okay, you can believe, no problem, you can change it. But will it give you moksha? Will it solve all your problems? How is it going to solve all your problems? And then, not here much, I think. In India, we have all these problems. Here also we have, here we don't have. And also wearing gems. You wear, to please Mercury, wear emerald.
My wife is
to please Guru Jupiter, wear yellow sapphire. To please Saturn, blue sapphire. To please Ketu, moonstone. Something like that. No? To wear all those things. Okay, immediately we'll... That is their business, you see. They have to sell, so they advertise. And then, so it goes into the buddhi. And you are so much taken up by that belief. The change, you know, wearing those gems will change the course of my life. That is not right. May do some effect. It may have some effect. But it won't change the whole thing, isn't it? Whole parabdha will not be changed by that. See, nothing can change parabdha. You know, that's what it is mentioned here. So that, like that, we can say all sorts of beliefs. Now we can say that if you go to Yahoo, so many things, all these psychic, you know, we can take as vadas only. People go, they are mad after lots of things, and they become worse. No, they become more insane, being given to all those beliefs. So what he is, the Vadaha here stands for different types of beliefs, you know, that people entertain, and they're totally given to those beliefs, that they think following those things will change the course of life. That is really becoming completely enslaved by those beliefs. That's not the truth, isn't it? Because it's all the search within the objective world. Vadaha iti vadavidaha, then bhuvanani iti tadvidaha. Bhuvanani. Bhuvanani here, already talked about the lokaha. Bhuha bhuvaha subaha. Here bhuvanani stand for all the 14 worlds. There are 14 worlds, and all these 14 worlds are the truth. Okay, they are the truth. They hold on to this idea of 14 worlds. The Shastram talks about the 14 worlds. You need not deny their existence. Why? You cannot disprove their existence. You need not accept because it is a non-verifiable belief. So just leave it as a matter for belief. And you don't need to worry about it. Because if you are Purusharthnicha, you mind your own business. What your business should be, you know you want freedom from samsara. And for ignorance is the root cause of the samsara. All that you need is the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is not an object, it is the subject, it is the very truth of yourself. Your swarupam. Therefore you see that you make all possible efforts to know your swarupam instead of wasting your time but knowing the lokas and discussing about whether they're true or not, and they know they are the truth. Okay, so bhuvanani iti cha tadvidaha. People sometimes waste their quality time in discussing on this lokaha. Why? Because it is interesting for them. That is the ultimate for them. That is the great, that something very important for them. Okay? This is also discussed. See, all the Shastram says, we are talking. Shastram does talk about it. That does not mean we are not agreeing with them. We say, they are all presented for different purpose. Is it? Here being conscious of one's end. In order to have samadhanam, to be focused. See, so many things may be there, but you have to be focused. You are just, your eyes are tied tight with the black cloth. And somebody takes you from a different place. And no, you are not let alone in the dark jungle, but you are let in the Ikea, biggest Ikea, with all bright lights. Open eyes and see, my God, so many things. And the example you two times, no? The two ways of seeing example. Your eyes are tight, the black cloth. You can't see anything. And you're left in the jungle, the dark jungle. Don't know where to go. That's one thing. But here, you're left alone, you know, where in the IKEA shop, where the lights are so bright, so many things shine. You don't know which side to see, which to pick up. And then you're asked, somebody says, come on, go there, take anything you want. How will it be? We'll go mad, isn't it? That is how we are left here. So many things. It's all for life, but it is not. What is given to us for living our lives should not be mistaken for our end of our life. Isn't it? See, when things are given for us to live our lives, and we hold on to the things which are given to us to live our lives, and we don't want to proceed, which means we don't want to proceed to the end of life, which means we forget the very purpose of living here, our lives. That is what is remembered. Is it clear what I'm saying? So, bhuvanani iti tadvidaha. They talk about these worlds, etc. Then, mana iti mano vidaha. So here, psychology is a discipline, isn't it? And here, Gaudapada Acharya really talks about psychologists. Mana iti mano vidaha. A mind is everything. It is the mind which really governs everything, which controls everything. We say it is a fact, it's not wrong. But mind is everything means the psychologists hold on to this view of mind having many layers, and that the finest layer is called subconscious mind. And this subconscious is governing the whole present life. Which means the subconscious mind, what now? The subconscious has all the stored, collected problems of unresolved childhood issues. And then how do we pick them up? All these unresolved problems lying in our subconscious mind, you know, it's all our background. It's all how, and that is most of the times the blame goes to the parents. You know, when we were a child, and the poor parents, they did not know what to do. They were doing their best. But still we have our own perception as a child sitting in a corner, and then you have our own views. And all those, our perceptions, our parental behavior, how they treated us, etc., it goes to subconscious, sits there. Isn't it? Not only that, also environment where we grew up. The neighbors' dogs, the cats, rats, you know. And then school friends, the school teachers, terrible teachers of the school, you know. Indians, there is school, not in this country, you know. Especially in kindergarten and in the Montessori school teachers, it's really always a stick with them. I don't know, but in this country, I never saw a teacher with a stick. In India, teachers means they had to come with a big stick. You know that, those days. Really, teachers. So all of them, all their behavior, how they treated you, you know, all that, they'd hugged you, they'd give you chocolates and then sweets, and then they would have done anything. They fondled you, cuddled you, everything they would have done. That all will not go to subconscious. All the bad things will go to subconscious. How they bit me, how they hit me, and how they pondered my mistakes, all goes to subconscious. How my mother told a lie once upon a time. She let me alone. She told me she was going to the hospital for injections. She went to the shop. She went to, you know, shopping. This fact the child comes to know later and forgets getting on chocolate. But her pain has gone into the mind. This is how, you know, all the childhood, unresolved childhood issues. You know, the pain was there. That pain was never sorted out. And that has gone to subconscious, sitting there underneath. And every time something which is similar happens later on in your life, that triggers the childhood problem, it surfaces. and the pain is the old pain, and the triggering, you know, when the pain surfaces, the triggering instrument is what? The present situation. So the present situation is not responsible for the pain you go through. Really, not at all. Nothing to do with this. If there is no problem here already, in the subconscious, there is nothing for you. That is why sometimes we hold on to the new problems. We cannot give it up. I do see that. You know, people who are 60, 70, 80, and they cannot give up. Sometimes they hold on to that. They go on and on and on and on. They cannot give it up. Okay, it's over, wrong, it has happened, come on, finished, leave it. No. Why they can't leave it? It is only in the situation. It is because so much of pain surfacing. What is the reason? Unresolved. Old reason. Okay, this is all we talk about, psychologists talk about subconscious. Therefore, the whole present life, how you are happy, you are moody, you are, no? All these things, the complete, your present life is governed by your subconscious layer of mind. There's certain fact, but still, this is not the solution. You had to be conscious of your problem. You had to be clear about what you are seeking and what is the problem, what is the solution. Your problem of samsara will be resolved only by the knowledge of the reality, and that reality or the truth is none other than your own sarupam, that sarupam of the subject you. It is not in external world. It is in solving your subconscious problems. Understand? It can help you understand some problem. Okay, when you grow up as a elderly person, when you have the problems, the psychiatrist, the psychiatrist explain the problems to some children. They try, okay, let me make the child understand the problem. So the child will get rid of the problem. So the psychiatrist tell, you know what happened? You are fantastic now. The psychiatrist talk to a 20-year-old or 18-year-old boy or girl. You are very good, fantastic. You have no problem at all. And then, you know, this is actually speaking, this person who has hurt you has not hurt you. The hurt is, you know, already there's a pain. It must have happened when you were very, very young. Your mother might have told something. Your dad might have done something and which might have caused hurt in you. Therefore, that hurt is surfacing now because of the present problem. You know, the childhood issue. You're fine. Now you know the reason now. You'll be free. Go. These children go angrily and sue the parents. Go back and sue the parents. It creates another problem. Okay, because of your behavior, because of my upbringing, your upbringing was not okay. I don't know what you did. Because of you, now I have this problem. There are some children now who sue their parents. I don't know whether, not in India. You know, what happens. In America also it happens. That's why sometimes I tell you it's dangerous sometimes. It is, you know, what I want to say here, that helps a lot. For suppose 60-year-old, 70-year-old person, when the person has some problem. See, whenever we are not able to let go of the present problem, please understand this. This is what I'm unless. If I'm able to, suppose I've gone through some problem, if I can let go of the present problem, see, it gets over, something, okay, a dispute, a fight, or something gets over. Can let go of the problem, I am free. I'm not able to let go of the problem, again and again and again and again and again, the thought comes and the pain comes, and then and the reactor talk too much, then you have to know, you can know your own problem. It is definitely unknown, unresolved childhood issue. From underneath it surfaces. This is a fact. So to know this, and therefore to, okay, it's a childhood issue, it's okay. To understand, it's okay. But by understanding this childhood issue, but take accepting the present situation is okay. That does not mean it's freedom from samsara. It's a temporary remedy for temporary, understand, issue. But you have what now? You have a eternal issue, isn't it? Which has been sorted out. Timeless issue of ajnana, samsara. Therefore, within samsara, all these problems are possible. So you can totally come out of the problem only when you become free from the bondage. Being born a jiva here, totally resolving all these issues will not be possible. It's all for temporary, isn't it? It's all temporary remedies. It's okay, good, but what happens? These manayeva manish manavid iti manavidaha, everything is all psychology, isn't it? It's all, psychology or psychiatry will solve the whole jagat's problems. Everything will be sorted out. My moksha will be there, is there if you think. It is not true. Because even the psychology is a beautiful science, but this science deals with the facts within the realm of objective world. So we have to live the life properly. We have to do the needful, to sort out the problems existing within the realm of objective world. It can be physical, emotional, all those things. Cough is there, antibiotics we have to take. It's a different thing. That is sorting out the problem, that is a different thing. But that should be taken as the ultimate. Understand? Which means, we have to remember, the actual problem is ignorance, and for which the knowledge of the truth, and the truth is not an object. Truth is not in objective world. This is what is explained. And it's like not just darshanas. So even we say psychology. So manaha iti manovidaha, buddhiriti cha tadvidaha. Some people know the buddhihi here literally means it intellect. Here it means, the yogachara bauddhaha, the Buddhists. Buddhihi here means the fleeting cognitions. The cognitions. Constantly in the waking state, cognitions come and then cognitions go. Like cup cognition, my cognition, book cognition, specs cognition, like all the cognitions of varied objects. These cognitions come and cognitions go. They're not permanent. So for these people, the yogachara bauddhaha, bauddhas, for them, the constantly coming and going, the cognitions, this impermanent word buddhi here, they are the reality. The shunyavayas are different. For them, these fleeting thoughts are the reality. As I mentioned even in Dakshinamurti Stotram class, that is ultimate. In fact, they forget about what is a thought, what is a fleeting thought, what is a cognition here. We have to remember very well, every cognition, every perception, any experience involves two aspects. Like illumination, if we say, it involves two aspects. What are the two aspects? Bulb and the electricity. In darkness, I am talking about in the night. If we say there is illumination, is this illumination a unitary happening, a unitary situation? No, it involves two factors, isn't it? Electricity alone, if the electricity is there, you can't say there is illumination. Electricity alone cannot contribute for illumination. Bulb alone cannot contribute for illumination. Together, they contribute for illumination. So, illumination is equal to electricity plus bulb is equal to illumination. Similarly, here, it is not just one unit, isn't it? It's actually experience. When you say experience, perception, cognition, knowledge, when you say, this implies thought plus consciousness. So consciousness is always there. Does not come and does not go. Thought comes, thought goes. Thought comes, there is experience. Thought goes, experience goes. Another thought comes, the previous thought goes, previous experience goes, new experience comes. Then another new thought comes, the new experience happens, the previous thought experience goes. Previous thought goes, previous experience goes. What comes and goes is what? Thought. So not one thought, many thoughts come, constantly. There's a flow of thoughts. Therefore, the flow of experiences of varied objects. But what is constantly there? Therefore, experiences are many. The plurality of experiences or perceptions or cognitions is due to the plurality of thoughts. But consciousness is not plural, one and the same, and changeless. Consciousness is one, same, and changeless. Whereas thoughts come and go, then plural. Understand? Therefore, but what this, they do not see, they cannot see this. Constantly, changelessly existing only, the one and the same consciousness, the uniform consciousness, they do not see. They're not like other people, the quiet, intelligent people. They come to this and they say, these cognitions, the experiences, the anvritti jnanams, which come and go. Because any thought is of the nature of fleeting. Therefore, these cognitions are implied by the word, meant by the word buddhi here. So, for them, these fleeting cognitions are mistaken to be the ultimate truth by one group of philosophers called Yogachara Bauddhaha. So psychologists and then Yogachara Bauddhas. Chitta miti chitta vidaha. Chitta means memory, very well. There are some people, for everything there is a group of people to hold on to some view and then they get stuck there. To be frank, in fact, all that we have in life is determined by our memory only. How now I do actions, I enjoy the fruits. How do I enjoy the fruits? Because I perform actions. How do I perform the actions? Because I know what I like, I know what I don't like. How do I know what I like and what I don't like? My knowledge of likes and dislikes is based on my previous experiences. Where are the previous experiences? The previous experiences stored in my mind. Therefore, it is the memory which alone determines my present actions and my present life. Therefore, memory is the ultimate truth. Don't ask why I'm saying this. Okay? There are people who say chittam. Memory is the ultimate for some people. So just know, we don't even consider. That's why Shankaracharya didn't write commentary on these mantras. We just reading once. Then chittamiti chittavidaha dharma dharmaucha tadvidaha. These are really a type of people. Dharma dharma. These people believe in the Veda Shastram. That is why they believe what? If you do punya karma, right action, you have punyam. Do papa karma, you have papam. So punya papams are the ultimate. Punya papams are the ultimate. Why? Because the punyam will bless you with the pleasure, papam will bless you with pain. Therefore, punya papas alone and nothing else. It's all punya papa which govern your life, troubling you, making you, pleasing you in the form of pains and pleasures, determining your life. It is punya papas. These people do not believe in God, do not believe in anything else. They believe only in punya papam, but they believe in Veda. They hold on to one thing in Veda. No, do punyam, have punyam, enjoy pleasure. They don't believe in jnanam, they don't believe in moksha, they don't believe in Bhagavan. Punya papas govern your life. Punya papas are the ultimate. This is a group of people, okay? This is a dharma, dharmao, cha tadvidaha. Okay, I'll stop here. We have three more verses, we'll see next class. Anyway, what is that one view, one thing we have to, all these people, with the due respect to their views, with respect to their efforts, we have to point out their fallacy. All, what is one common thing in all of them is, for all of them, the ultimate truth is an object. Ultimate truth is, solution for them is within the mithya objective world. Okay, this is what is the problem. We can even say, suppose for example, the medical science, it's allopathic or Ayurvedic, any medical science, everything is a discipline. People talk about the pranic healing, Reiki healing, and now one more care, what is it? That our Holly is into some treating now. She treated me actually. I didn't know whether it worked or not, but she really did something. Radionics, something. It's all used in electromagnetic waves to cure. I tell you, people come and then she was the whole night she was expecting me all that. I was sitting here, I was not dozing. I didn't understand mostly, but she was having a machine and then putting out, now you're treated, she said. As long as you treat me staying out away, no problem, I said. And but she did work really, she was doing something here. Now, what is radionics? It says. It's something, there's like so many, treatments. Like what I'm saying, they're all useful or not. Who denies? See, any discipline works. It can be pranic healing or any healing, or even now there's some healers here, spiritual healers are there. Draw energy from space and then they give you this some energy, something. I know some healers in this Cornwall. We have many healers, spiritual healers. There are so many healers. I tell you, I do not deny anything, the effect of anything. They're all different disciplines. Any discipline works. Any discipline is effective. How can we deny a discipline being non-effective? Because it is a discipline, it is effective. Allopathic medicine, how can you say in front of doctor doesn't work, radiology doesn't work? That his whole life he's been doing so many people he treated. It does work. No, we do not deny. But it works where? How much can it sort out? That's what we have to understand. It's actually here, more than pointing out the fallacies here, showing the limitations of all sciences. Not denying their validity, okay? How valuable they are. We are not saying they are useless. That is the wrong thing. All these sciences are very, very, very highly useful in sorting out the problems within the realm of objective world. But they cannot, they are not capable of solving your common, the human fundamental problem. And which is the cause for samsara, isn't it? And that fundamental problem is caused by what? The erroneous perception, which is the cause for this samsara. That will be solved only by knowledge, because ignorance is the problem. That is what Shastra wants to say. We do not undermine, undervalue, or deny the value of usefulness of any science. All these sciences are very useful. No, they had to be used to live the life. But they should not be taken as, using them should not be taken as the ultimate end of life. Isn't it? Use any discipline to live the life. Use all of any discipline to live the life. But don't take that discipline and as the ultimate end of life. That is the thing. What is said here? Is it clear? Like this, we have to understand their limitations. Aparavidya. So aparavidya will not be a solution for your problem. If aparavidya leads to paravidya, then it has served its purpose. But if aparavidya holds you behind, aparavidya becomes an obstacle, okay? If you are holding on to aparavidya and it becomes an obstacle for paravidya, okay, it's a disturb, it's useless. But if aparavidya should help you improve your, sharp intellectual sharpness, emotional stability, then it leads you to paravidya, it has served its purpose. In fact, the knowledge of all forms of disciplines will be validated by the self-knowledge. That's true. Okay, we'll see the rest. We'll see next class, we'll finish the thing. Anyway, so I'll see you next Saturday. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.